Hi, hello. Welcome to the Bronze Medal Life. I'm your host, I'm Colleen Lindstrom, and this is a podcast for people who have realized that they want to break the shackles of the pursuit of perfection, people who realize that this is an unattainable goal and maybe just need a little push to remember that it is okay to just be okay. That is a perfectly acceptable way to go through life. And that's kind of what I've been working on. I'm not an expert. I'm just a human. I'm an expert human in as much as I've been human since I was born. And I am on this journey with you. I have really been working hard myself on trying to actually be okay just being okay. And it's a process. And I want you to know that it's a process even for me, even though I personally am the architect of this bronze medal life. And you might ask, but why the bronze, right? The bronze still is on the podium. And that's just a reminder to me that we're all putting in the same effort. We're all trying our very best. And sometimes our very best lands us with the bronze medal, and that's great. And that's still something to be proud of. So if you listened to last week's podcast, you are going to be, this is the continuation. This is part two of the mom strike. If you did not listen to last week's podcast, that's okay. I will try to paraphrase for you. However, if you have 12 minutes to go back and listen, you can listen to it on double time. That's my favorite trick. I try to keep these podcasts short so that you can listen to them in the car or on a short walk. But feel free to listen double time. Don't take up your precious time with just little old me. So I will paraphrase that last week. I'll give you the quick update. Last weekend, I decided to go on a mom strike. Ooh, I still don't. That's a tease right there. I still don't even really know what that means. However, I just had sort of had it. I was kind of pushed to my edge. I thought, I am awfully close to having some sort of breakdown that I'm not interested in having, that I don't have time for, nor do I have energy for. And I said, I am not doing this thing anymore. Meaning, this thing being, I am not providing the meticulous day-to-day administrative support of the family. I'm still an emotional parent, right? I'm still there for them when they need something, which is less and less because they're teenagers. I'm still driving the ones who can't drive themselves to whatever they want to go to, whether it's a dance class or a play, or one of my sons has decided to get into photography. So driving him to different wonderful nature spots, right? I'm still there for that because I still want to be emotionally connected, right? I'm not tapping out entirely of the game. I'm tapping out of the day-to-day minutiae that is preventing my people who are very capable of doing things for themselves from learning how to do things for themselves. Okay, so that's essentially how it all began. This is part two of the mom strike. Here's where we are with this. I never really thought through myself, what my terms were. Here's the thing that's going to get me off strike, right? I didn't think that through. And I actually think that's all right, because I'm looking at this more as an experiment, and I'm paying attention to how the people in my family are reacting to this, but also honestly how I am reacting to this, because it's not just about not doing this stuff. There's definitely a lesson and a shift happening here. So one thing I do notice is every time somebody asks me for something and I say, I'm on strike, I'm not handling that, there's an exasperated noise that follows that, ugh. And usually, especially with my older child, my older son, he's like, this is so dumb. Why are you doing this? And I'm like, you know, I don't expect you to really understand, but I am doing this and it's important to me. Now, here's the thing I will point out, and I find this interesting. The one person in my family who has never, not ever made any sort of comment or reaction to the strike, I bet you can guess, is my daughter. And I had forgotten about a conversation that I had had right before I decided to go on strike with my mom. You know, she and I were out running an errand, and she said to me, this was before I'd gone on strike, and I was pretty close to the edge. And she said, what's new and fun in your life? And I said, nothing. Nothing is new. Nothing is fun. Everything is doing things for everybody. And it was a raw moment. And it felt really true at the time. And her reaction to that was, well, that's what it's like to be a woman. And I think that that was the first seed of the strike coming up in me, because my immediate thought was, I don't receive that. I am not subscribing to that newsletter. I don't want that to arrive on my doorstep. And I realized how much of my life I have been actually doing that. I really have been putting my own needs aside to care for the needs of others, some of whom I'm related to, many of whom I'm not, many of whom I don't even speak to anymore, many of whom were maybe coworkers who were in my life for all of a year, if that, right? How often have I been doing that? And so when my mom said that, and it was a perfectly innocent thing to say, and I wasn't mad at her, I was angry at the system. I was angry at myself for all the ways that I participated in that. And that's kind of where the strike was born. Here's the other thing. And I promise you, I'm going to tell you how it's going. I had forgotten when I first told you guys about the strike, about a little piece, and this has been coming up over the last week. I follow only really one mom influencer. She's local. I find her to be funny. I like her energy. I think she's quirky. She's got a lot of kids, and I like her a lot. I really do. I think if I was at a Starbucks and she was at the table next to me, I would tell her I appreciate her and we'd have a really nice conversation. But that just sounded like I was going to negate everything I just said. I'm not. The thing that got to me was watching a video that she had done about a mess her kids made. And I realized she always delivers everything with a smile on her face, as though parenting is every moment the most joyful thing in the entire world. And she shared this. And, you know, it was, again, a perfectly lovely video about this great mess that she and her kids made doing a craft. And, you know, she said, of course, like, they're going to help me pick it up. And I felt immediately deficient, because getting my family to pick things up is not a task that I'm good at. I'll just say it. I get frustrated very easily. I am not patient. I want it done my way, right? So these are things that I have control over. So a lot of times I still do the thing where it's just easier if I do it. It's just easier if I do it. But I was struck by the fact that she's always smiling and it always looks like she does things with joy. And I felt like, what's wrong with me? Because I don't find every single moment of parenting joyful. I find it to be tedious. I find it to be work a lot of the time. And it has a great reward. I am aware of that. I adore my children. My family is my most important thing in my life. It will always be the best job I've ever done. Even if I don't do it great, it is the most important job in my life. And I'm not always happy. I'm not always loving it. I'm not always excited. to do the things. I'm not. And so when I see some of these influencers on social media who are just so joyed, overjoyed, and tickled at the mess of parenting, I think, what's wrong with me? And I don't like that. And I don't want to do that. And I wondered if maybe I was getting in my own way of experiencing the joy of motherhood. So that's kind of where I am right now. We're going on week two of the strike. My family is saying things like, when is this going to be over? And in my heart, I'm kind of thinking, I don't know. I don't know that it ever will be. And here's why. If you ever were a working human, gone on a vacation and thought to yourself, well, they're going to learn what it's like to survive without me, right? I think about that all the time. I used to think that all the time, right? Like, oh, I'm going to go on vacation and I'll come back and they'll really appreciate me. And then you go on vacation and you come back and oh my gosh, the world kept spinning. Everything kept working just fine. Was it the same? No. But was it fine? Totally. Gosh, I remember when I used to be on the radio and I would go away for a week, I would get emails from people who would say, you know, the show's really just not the same when you're not there. And at first it used to make me feel good. I'm not saying it never made me feel good. Like it did. It makes you feel good to know that you were missed. But I remember very, very specifically having a moment where I thought, well, of course it's not the same when I'm not there. Of course it's not. Because, you know, I'm me. And nobody else is me. And so, of course, it's not the same. It was sort of this like way of realizing that while we are so important, we're simultaneously completely not important, right? So that's sort of the feeling I'm having right now with the strike. It's the thing that I wanted was for my family to be capable, to realize how actually capable they are. And also, they're realizing how capable they are, which means they need me less, which means they know that they can do these things and I am not needed always in those ways. And so that's the piece that I didn't anticipate. I didn't want the strike to be punitive. I really meant it to be restorative for me. And at the same time, I wanted people to be able to pick up the slack when I wasn't, you know, when I was feeling overwhelmed. I wanted people to recognize that I was feeling overwhelmed and swoop in and help. And here's the thing, nobody's really had any problems this week. Everybody, they've complained a little, right? Like the pretzels don't appear before the bag is done. But they're learning. They're learning to see that the bag is almost out of pretzels and put it on the grocery list. And my husband has been, he loves going to the grocery store. See, this is the other thing. I hate grocery shopping. I absolutely despise it with every last fiber of my being. And yet, as the person who plans the menu, I was always also doing the grocery shopping, which meant taking an inventory of all the doodads and the whatnots and the what have yous in our house to make sure I was filling in the blanks. And then I'd get really down on myself when I wouldn't get that one thing that I completely forgot at the grocery store. So I hate the grocery store. My husband loves the grocery store. So he's been popping out and bopping around and grabbing all the food and coming home and everything has been operating just fine. And so there's something to that. And there's something to realizing that simultaneously, the thing that you wanted was for them to become more competent and they're becoming more competent, which means they need you less. Which is, I think, kind of the saddest grief of parenting, is you are immersed so fast in this life where the survival of your child literally depends on you, literally. And you slow roll your way to this place where you're letting them go and they're responsible for their own survival. And it is such a huge, huge grief. And I'm in it. I'm in it right now. And I'm realizing it. And I'm certainly, and I want you to hear this loud and clear, not the first nor the last to do this. And I am experiencing it right now. So if you're in it, if you've been in it, if you're gonna be in it, listen to what I'm telling you. And that is, the physical needs of your child will get met one way or another. You can rest. You don't have to rest for a week like I have. You don't have to rest for longer. They will figure out how to meet their physical needs. But nobody can be you in their lives. Nobody can be the person who checks in on them, who's paying attention to the little changes in their personality, who's caring for their heart, who's caring for the kind of person that they are. That's not in the kitchen. That's not in the cupboards. That's not in the grocery store aisles. That's in you. And you're the only person who can do that. So that's my bronze medal thought for today. I'm still on strike, I guess. Or maybe I just don't feel like grocery shopping. Either way, they're figuring it out. And so am I. And we're all doing it together. I want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by The Asylum, Inc., and you can find out everything you need to know about my bestie, Alicia, and the awesome work she does at The Asylum, Inc. by just going to her website. I already know somebody heard about her on this very podcast, and they made an appointment to get inked by Alicia. She does microblading eyebrows, she does powder eyebrows, and she does fine line tattoos. And it is an absolute 1000% joy to sit in her chair and hang out with her. And I guarantee you, if you want to listen to Taylor Swift, she will absolutely put it on for you. And if you don't want to listen to Taylor Swift, the other music she has is phenomenal. You can just find her at her website. It's The Asylum, ASYLUM Inc.com. Make your appointment there. And say hi to her when you see her. Tell her you heard about her on the Bronze Medal Life. And in the meantime, in between time, I promise you, you really are doing great. You're doing great.